Presenting radio's foremost laboratory of writing and production techniques, the Columbia Workshop. Every week at this time, over most of these CBS stations, the Columbia Workshop presents a new and different broadcast with accent on the experimental. Today, our author is Joseph Ruskell, who has been represented before on the workshop. His story is called Lee Fountain Comes of Age. Kenny Delmar appears in the leading role. The special musical score has been composed and is conducted by Alexander Semler, and the production is under the direction of Werner Michel. Lee Fountain Comes of Age.
When Lee Fountain was 7, he decided it was stupid to grow up.
Because then you just go to the store and go to the store like Dad and never chase butterflies.
He decided to do something about it.
I'll never grow up, never. I'm going to keep being little. I'll hold on tight and never let go.
And every night in bed, Lee said to God,
"And please, God, I decided to hold on tight and always stay a little boy. Not big, will you ever laugh like Pa and go to the store? And go to the store, no marbles, nothing. And in between, you just sleep and snore plenty loud. And look at Mum, no jacks or anything. Just stays in the kitchen, and when she cries, her nose is red. And dear God, the main thing is, what becomes of little children when they get big? Are they swallowed up or what? And things like that. So I decided I'll just hold on tight and stay little. Please, God, let me always be a little boy. I don't want to ever grow up. It's no fun."
Strange little duck. But it seems he didn't hold on tight enough. For before he knew it, he was tall and thin and 15 and went to high school. And his classmates all sneered and called him odd. For he was still in short pants and refused to change into longies.
Look at him, Lee Fountain, Superman, still in diapers.
You leave me alone, Buck Bishop.
You leave me alone, Buck Bishop.
My soul and I, we have a good cry.
What's that, Joe?
Haven't you heard, Helen? In math this morning, Itchy Faxon gives me some square roots to dope out.
And how do you suppose Diapers here was square rooting?
Itchy sneaks up behind Diapers' desk and grabs his paper out of his hand.
And reads it out loud to all the kids. Poetry.
My soul and I, we have a good cry.
That's what he wrote. Can you beat it?
Don't let him get away! Hold him, Buck!
Now, that's up, Buckley!
Let me go! Ow! He bit me! I'm bleeding!
Oh, then we're gonna fight!
Sock him, Buck!
Go ahead, sock him!
Sock him, Buck!
Attaboy, Buck!
Look at Diapers! Sweet, sweet!
My soul and I, we have a good cry!
I'd like him, get up, Buckley! Sock him again!
Get him!
Go, you beast!
Run along, Cleo!
I will not, you brute! Picking on the poor fellow, you aren't fit to shine his shoes.
Beat it, Cleo.
Leave him alone. Buck Bishop, you awful bully, or I'll scratch your eyes out. The whole pack of you.
Graham, Cleo.
I'd like to see anyone make me. You murderer. Are you hurt?
I'm all right.
I'm Cleo Thompson. I'm in your history class.
Why don't you go in? Bell's rung.
Come here. Let me clean you up a bit. Got a hanky? Give it to me.
I'm all right.
Look at you. Shirt all torn. Face is a mess.
Oh.
Oh, does it hurt when I touch it? Boys can be so mean and cruel. I hate them. The girls are just as bad, the way they giggle and watch a massacre. I'm in your history class.
I know.
There, you look a little better. How do you know?
What do you mean?
You never once talked to me. Never even looked at me. Do you despise me, Lee Fountain, because I'm freckled and plain and get the best marks in ancient history?
Last bell. Better go in.
You coming?
No.
Then I'll cut, too. You're a queer one, Lee Fountain. Adam's apple, short pants, long hair, no friends. Always by your lonesome. What do you do when you're alone? I wonder, why do you sometimes mumble to yourself?
Why, I'm thinking of poems.
You're artistic. That's what I like about you. I can tell. They're not worth your little fingers, those bullies, those Philistines. You write lots of poems.
A lot.
Let's walk. It's beautiful, that one. How's it go? My soul and I. Beautiful.
You really think so?
Oh, definitely. But of course they wouldn't know. Buck Bishop. He may be on the football team, but he's still a dope.
Cleo.
Yes, Lee?
Cleo, I think Cleo's such a beautiful name.
You do?
I wanted to tell you lots of times.
What stopped you?
I don't know. I was afraid.
Lee Fountain, do you want me to be your girl?
Huh?
Then I will.
You will?
On one condition.
What's that?
Take off those silly, childish short pants and put on longies.
Nothing doing.
You're a grown man almost. Why not?
Because.
Because what?
Just because, and that's all. Change the subject.
Don't be a nut. Do you always want to be laughed at?
I don't mind.
Well, what about me? Do you want people to point me out and say, there goes Mrs. Diapers?
Change the subject.
What's so sacred?
Listen, if you want to be with me, then change the subject. Change the subject.
You're a hot sketch, Lee Fountain. But I like you. Let's walk.
And after that day, they walked a lot, Lee and Cleo, and held hands and sighed. And one night, Cleo wrote in her diary,
"We've been walking and talking the whole night. When we came out of the movies and got to my door, he begged me not to go in yet. So I felt kind of sorry for him. So I said, all right, once around the block. And lovely black thoughts were pouring out of his soul like death. And how nice the grass smells so late at night. So I said, I tell you what, we've walked around the block 3 times already. So why not let's go to the park and sit on a bench and talk our heads off. Poor Lee almost fainted with joy. And that's exactly what we did, little diary. We walked and we talked the whole night through. Yes, little diary, you who know all my innermost thoughts, you have guessed it. He has fallen in love with me. Hopelessly, helplessly, horribly in love. We're sitting on the bench, and all of a sudden he says to me,
Cleo, what is it that you feel when you feel a feeling that you never felt before? You give up? It's an awfully silly word, so I won't mention it. Anyway, that's the way I feel. Anyway, if only, only you did. Oh, Cleo. Cleo.
And you can bet that when Lee Fountain said that, he had changed to longies. And again, Lee failed to hold on tight. For zoom, the years went by, and presto, he was 29. And he'd been keeping company with Cleo for years and years. He was engaged to her the last 9. He had a nice, snug job selling haberdashery at Ted Butler's. And everyone wondered why he hadn't long since gone ahead and married Cleo. It began to be common gossip. And Cleo said,
see here, Lee Fountain, I won't be put off any longer. You're not the only pebble on the beach.
Now, Cleo,
There's other fish in the sea, plenty of fellows who would have jumped to have me. Yeah. Joe Botkin and Eddie Price, but no, you monopolize my best years. 9 years we've been engaged.
Just one more month. Let's wait one more month, please, Cleo. July.
And before that it was March. And before that it was last year. And the year before that,
And 9 years ago, you know what I think.
Cleo.
If you don't love me enough, just say so.
Oh, darling, I do. I'd die without you. But let's give it more thought.
More thought?
Yes.
I give up.
Marriage, Cleo, it does things to you. I mean, we won't be the same. The main thing is, what becomes of a bachelor like me when he gets married? Is he swallowed up or what? And things like that, it'll be a different me. I mean...
He means, of course, that he's still trying to hold on to that idea of being little. But Cleo will have none of his nonsense.
Lee Fountain, you'll marry me tomorrow morning right off.
Tomorrow morning?
I'll take your ring back. We can pile into your jalopy and ride to a justice of the peace. It'll be over before you know it.
Let's make it a week from Tuesday. I get a day off then.
None of your tricks,
Lee. Whole day.
Tomorrow, first thing in the morning and not a minute later.
Yeah, make it the day after tomorrow then. Tomorrow's too soon.
Nothing doing. You'll call for me at 8 a.m. sharp or I'm through with you forever.
And again, Lee Fountain failed to hold on tight enough for... And again. Failed. 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 But boom life booms along. And zip the years zip by.
30, 31, 2, 3, 4, 5.
And Lee is no longer young. No longer young. Lee sighs.
My. 3 days ago, I was 7.
And wife Cleo just stays in the kitchen. And when she cries, her nose is red. And my, look how Junior's growing. Must be every bit of...
6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
And Lee all this while went to the store and went to the store. Yet often he rebelled, especially on his birthdays. On his birthdays, he exclaimed bitterly,
My, 3 days ago I was 7.
And went out and got drunk.
3 days ago, I was 7.
He's getting gray.
3 days ago.
Getting paunchy.
7.
Getting bald.
Getting old.
Old. Old. Old. Old.
40. Middle age. Yesterday he was 39, but today he's lost. Lost. How's he acting up today, Cleo?
This time it started off worse than ever. He can't stand birthdays, and turning into 40 is what he can't stand worst of all. I think it'll be the meanest of all.
Why'd Pa run out of the house, Ma, without finishing his breakfast?
Hush, Junior. He had to see a man.
But why'd he break all the dishes?
Oh, your father's a wonderful man, Junior. He used to write poetry.
My soul and I, we had a good cry.
And Lee took it out on his boss, too, as usual. Did you know Lee's 40 today, Mr. B?
So that's it again. No wonder he was acting so peculiar in the store this morning. I should have known. A girl comes in to buy a tie. I'm taking care of somebody else, so Lee waits on her. For an old man about your age, she happens to say, and he practically throws her out of the store. I don't like these yearly tantrums. Look here, Lee. I don't like your attitude lately.
You don't own my attitude, Mr. B.
That's the limit. I won't stand for it. You scare the customers away. The last few days, you haven't had your mind on the business.
What are you talking about?
I won't stand for it. I mean your slipshod sales methods. I stood you for 15 years.
I stood you just as long.
No wonder I never branched out.
It squeezes me here. You get that? Is this all I was meant for? Well, I'll start over again.
No, you're 40, Lee.
It's a lie. I'm 39.
You'll have to cut out these monkey shines once and for all and pay attention to business.
The devil with business, the devil with you.
You remember your wife and child before your tongue puts you in the ash can.
Let me worry about them, Mr. B.
I've been harboring a snake for 15 years.
You bet. And what's a snake but a big worm? And this worm's making a big turn. I quit.
You do like fun. You're fine.
I am like fun. I quit.
I'm free. Free.
And when he got home and sat down at the supper table, poor Cleo took one look at him and volunteered...
Want me to get you something, Lee?
Such as?
I don't know. Maybe an aspirin if you have a headache. Have you got a headache?
I could develop one for you if you want me to. You want me to? And at the supper table, Lee munches his food sullenly, silently, and his little family tactfully does likewise. Suddenly, Lee stops eating, stares at his wife wrathfully, bangs the table with his fist, and snarls at his astonished spouse.
Take you, Cleo Fountain, the anonymous author of Half My Troubles.
Half My Troubles! You're getting all gray. Does it bother you?
Like fun it does. Take April the 10th, Cleo. What happened to you that day?
April the 10th? I don't remember.
Take August the 20th. How about that? Huh? No, you don't remember that either.
Do you remember what happened to you?
Of course not, but at least I worry about it. Do you?
I'm always too busy with things to do.
What things?
Well, like sweeping up.
Like sweeping up.
Gee, Pop's your cuckoo tonight.
Junior, hush.
Junior?
Yes, Dad?
Why do you grow so fast?
Why do I grow so fast?
Why do you grow so fast?
I don't. I'm small for 10.
Don't fib. I don't like it.
I'm not fibbing.
I don't like it, I tell you, here.
And stop whining. I can't stand your whining. Do you hear me?
Stop it right now. Bullying the boy like that, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. Get out of here as fast as your legs can carry you. And don't you dare come back here till you've calmed down.
Lee went, but first he broke a few dishes. Then he went out and got good and drunk. He returned with flowers for Cleo and a baseball mitt for Junior. The next day he got on the job at 8 a.m. instead of 9 a.m., as it was the day of the clearance sale. And still again Lee Fountain failed to hold on tight enough, for zing, the years now rushed toward him twice as fast and, oh, piled up on him.
40 you.
Oh.
40 you.
Ah.
40 you.
Oh.
40 I.
Ah.
Like squadrons and battalions of the foe.
Not big, where you don't ever laugh like Pa.
Trampling with alien thrusts and thoughtless jeers.
And go to the store. And go to the store. No marbles, nothing.
Over a wounded soldier lying low.
Dear God, what becomes of little children?
Lying low. Lying low.
Are they swallowed up?
Lying low, low, low.
Or what? Or what?
Why, the way he carried on today has been worse than ever. Positively the worst. Rounding 50 just about did for him. 40 wasn't half as bad. Why, he's locked himself in his room all day and won't come out. Won't say boo. Won't eat a stitch. Not a stitch. It's been the meanest of all this time. I'm worried. Lee Fountain, open up. Your daughter-in-law's here.
Hello? Hello, father-in-law. That's Phoebe. She wants to meet you.
Open up, Dad, for crying out loud.
Come on out, Mr. Fountain. I won't bite you.
Oh, come on. Open up there.
Lee, do you hear me? Open up. No. It's partly your fault, Junior. Running off and getting married without Pa's sanction. That's another reason he locked himself in there.
Well, I like that.
Now, Phoebe, no offense meant. If Mr. Fountain knew you, I'm sure he'd love you. But he's a very sensitive man, you know. He used to write poetry.
He would never let me bring a girl around the house, even Phoebe. You know darn well, Mom, I used to have to sneak Phoebe in here to see you.
Oh.
Don't cry, Phoebe. Why, only the other day, Mom, I says to him, feeling him out, I said, listen, Dad, what do you think of my getting married someday soon? And he says, what for? So I says, what for? And he says, just what I said, what for? So I says, well, what for does anyone get married? And he says, change the subject. And I says, gee, Dad, what's the matter with you? You got a psychosis on the subject or something? I'm 20, and you know what he says? What are you trying to do, make me a grandfather? Why, no, Dad, I says. Change the subject, he says. Change the subject. That's all he says. Change the subject. You see, Mom? So how could I tell him about me and Phoebe?
Just the same, son, you shouldn't have gone and eloped last night without first... My goodness, when he heard about it, he was furious. Lee Fountain, you come out of that room this instant. You hear?
Come on out, Dad.
Don't cry, Phoebe. He's got nothing against you.
Oh, don't just... cry, Phoebe. All right, if that's the way he wants it, we'll go live with your folks.
Wait a minute. Shh. Quiet. Here he comes. Shh. Here he is.
It's just his hand sticking out the door.
With a note in it.
He dropped it.
He's gone again.
Let's see what he wrote.
What's it say, Junior?
Says, to whom it may concern, anyone trying to make a grandfather out of me will be disowned and banished from my midst.
Again, Lee Fountain failed to hold on, tight. Tight, tight, for in a twinkling... There was Peter, and all was lost. For Lee was now willy-nilly a grandfather, and Lee sulked, and true to his word, boycotted little Peter and all retainers of little Peter. And Grandma Cleo coaxed and begged and wept, but Lee was adamant. And zip, the years flew by, and Peter was...
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven.
And zowie, Lee Fountain was an old man, and 60 was staring him in the face, and he shuddered, and he moaned.
My, 3 days ago I was 7.
And he was pale and bent and wore a hunted look, for he was afraid. Lee Fountain was afraid, and his heart was sick. He crept into his soul and wept. Familiar voices mocked his tears.
My soul and I,
we have a good cry.
And Lee Fountain wept and wept. And there came to him in his agony Peter, son of Junior, son of Lee, and said unto him,
Why are you crying? Are you a baby or something?
Who are you?
Peter, your grandson.
Well, how'd you get here?
I'm 7 today and you didn't come to my party, so I decided to come here. Stop crying, sir. It's silly. Be a man.
Lee gaped in astonishment, for truly Peter was a strange little lad,
as strange in his way as Lee himself had been at 7.
How old did you say you were?
7. You should have kept better track.
So, you're Peter?
Naturally. You look just like the picture on our mantle, only older.
And you're 7.
I hate being so young.
You what?
It's disgusting.
Why, it's... Why, you... How can you say such a thing? You're lucky to, that it... You're lucky that you're a... Why?
It's no fun being little.
What if you were old, like me?
I'd love it. Being little is... Is you know what?
What?
It's stupid. You know why?
Why?
Look, sir, for instance, here you are talking to a little boy. And you say to yourself, you say, he's only 7, so I guess I'll change the subject to lollipops. And did you win any marbles lately?
No, Peter, I won't change the subject.
When all the time I want to know answers like, why do you have to be little before you're big? And where do you go when you're asleep? And how does something come out of nothing? And why do things end?
And what if the answers make you sad, Peter?
That's nothing. I'd at least know, like you, and not waste time with, wash behind your ears, Peter, and eat your soup, Peter. It's good for you. And stand up and recite, Peter, and spinach. And foolishness like that. You see, sir?
And go on, Peter.
I'll bet you were young once. I'll bet you hated it, too. The way people kiss you and comb you and slap you and make you do what they want. And no one understands you. And you wish you were dead. Remember?
I remember.
I wish I could blow up and be big in a minute. When you're big, you can fly up to the sky if you want to. And no one will stop you.
No one.
And maybe say hello to God. See what I mean, sir?
Yes, I see. Yeah, I see. Peter, give me a kiss.
Of course not.
No?
Childish.
Oh, yes, so it is. A shake, then.
Shake.
Bless you, son.
Bless you, sir.
Gramp. Call me Gramp.
Sure, Gramp.
And from that time on, Lee Fountain let go and enjoyed life. And strangely enough, he grew younger every day.
The Columbia Workshop, radio's foremost laboratory of writing and production techniques, has just presented Joseph Druskell's original whimsy, Lee Fountain Comes of Age. The special musical score was by Alexander Semler, and the workshop's director was Werner Michel. Appearing in the cast were David Anderson, Bob Dryden, Peter Griffith, Don Kiefer, Madeline Lee, Abby Lewis, Ronnie Liss, Pat Ryan, Lawson Zerbe, and the part of Lee Fountain was played by Kenny Delmar. The narrator, Ted Osborne. Next week, over most of these same CBS stations, the Columbia Workshop will offer a dramatized portion of Thomas Wolfe's great American novel, Look Homeward, Angel, as adapted for the workshop by Elizabeth Lomax and directed by Mark Sloab, with another original musical score by Alexander Semler, whose work was heard on today's workshop. Every week, the workshop selects a different kind of program with emphasis upon the unusual and the experimental. Make a mental note to follow the Columbia Workshop from week to week. Saturday night is good listening with CBS, so stay tuned now for the famous correspondent Larry Lesser, who will come to you in just a few moments over many of these same stations. Don Baker speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.